Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
It looks like we have a little bit of a reprieve. If I were writing the Chronicles of the United States, I would write that Donald Trump assumed the office of the presidency of the United States. And he followed God, but was not able to tear down all the high places. And you'll see that if you go back in Kings. You'll see that as a statement about many, many of the kings. That means they tried to do what was right, but the political machine and the religious machine in the nation was just too much. And maybe recorded it, and he tried to tear down the high places. Hopefully by the end of his term, it can be written, and he tore down the high places. Let's hope. Verse 23. And the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Joram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. 8 years. 32 years old. 8 years. You see where disobedience to God gets you? Strife and turmoil in your life, and possibly a short life. And this guy here, Jehoram, he didn't even have any blessings that could be brought forward from his father or his father's father or his father's father. God blesses those that love him to the multi-generation. And he curses those who hate him to the third and the fourth generation. Be careful, mother and father, what you do in this life. Your children will reap the rewards, good or bad, light or darkness. In the 12th year of Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, begin to reign. 22 years old was Ahaziah, very young, when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab, which means he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And did as did the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Got the Jezebel bloodlines running rampant on the throne in Judah. Oh, it doesn't mean anything what your bloodlines are. You're your own person. God gives you a free will to make your own choices. You believe that, you're a fool. Be careful, mother and father, what you do in this life. Your children follow you down that hallway full of doors. Some of them open to light and some of them open to darkness. They're almost impossible to shut once they open. And you think that every person in this life is an individual with a free choice. No, there are spiritual consequences to the things you do placed on your children. Things that will oppress them from the moment they enter this life. Things that will garner their attention. Things that will cause them not to make the correct choices because the blessings of God were not on them to cover them from that darkness because of things that you did. You want a level playing field for your children? Focus your heart on God. They'll be born into this life with basically a free will. But the powers of evil will not already be associated with them. You found out your children were hanging around with hoodlums on the street corner at night. I would hope that you'd want to go and drag them out of there and forbid them to be there. Well, you know what? You're placing a bunch of spiritual hoodlums around your children by the things that you're doing. And they're even more powerful than them little fleshly hoodlums that stand on the corner smoking and joking. And he went with Joram, son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, and Ramoth-Gilead. Remember Hazael? Mm-hmm. Just off the king a while back. And the Syrians wounded Joram. The king Joram went back to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. So, goes up there, gets wounded, comes home. And the king comes and visits him. Chapter 9. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. You know, that expression that command is used in the Bible a lot. Gird up thy loins. Sometimes they just say go. And he tells you to gird up your loins. He's saying go with haste.
Mm-hmm. You're running.
Because you don't want to go with haste with your loins not girded. Trust me. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the sons of Jehoshaphat, the sons of Nimshi, and go in. Make him rise up from among his brethren and carry him to the inner chamber. Sounds like he's getting ready to make a change. This is Elisha the prophet. Let's start over in chapter 9. Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins. Go with haste and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. When thou comest thither, look out for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to the inner chamber and take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. What's God doing? He's placing a seed of David back on the throne of Israel. What told us a little while ago, he had preserved his seed over the throne of Israel because of a promise over the throne of Judah, because the kingdom is separated now. Because he made a promise to David, but these kings of Israel are really, really bad fellows. Looks like he's going to try the seed of David back on the throne of Israel now. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. When he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of all us, which one of us do you need to see? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he rose and went into the house. He poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master. You remember that prophecy that he gave to Ahab? Every member of your house that pisseth against the wall will be killed and lay in the streets, and the dogs will eat them. But it won't happen till you die. That I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. Remember, she had all of God's prophets hunted down and killed. And one governor seen fit to hide some of them in a cave. There's always someone there on the inside. God works his miracles no matter what the situation. And that story pops into my head. I've told it before on Between the Lines. I met this Bikers for Christ chaplain. This guy was painted with tattoos from head to toe, face, neck, fingers. And he was a chaplain in the Bikers for Christ. Now they serve, believe it or not, 1%ers. You know, the 1%ers are the real bad dudes. And I kind of garnered a little friendship with him. I mean, you meet this guy in the alley at night, you're going to wonder whether you're going to come out with your wallet or your life. Just from the look. You know, everyone does it. It's not prejudice. You size people up. You're foolish not to. Someone's walking down the street towards you, you need to size them up. Oh, well, that's just wrong. Well, if it appears he's carrying an Uzi under his trench coat, I want to know about it. So this guy, he's as rough as they come. I said, you know, if you walk into a church and go to sit down, the pews would scatter and there'd be a little circle of emptiness around you. I said, you know, perception is that you, how can you be serving God? And he said, Dave, God painted me like this. He put me into this lifestyle. He got me painted up like this. And then he changed my heart. And he left me in here to change other hearts. He says, I can go in places where if you just go in there, they'll kill you. Because you don't look the part. You don't fit the part. You don't have the history to be in there. God works miracles. There's always someone there on the inside. Don't be so blind, Christian. Because they don't look like you and wear a brown suit and a black tie on Sunday doesn't mean they're not serving God. Thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, and may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and all the blood of the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. The whole house of Ahab shall perish, as I said so. And I will cut off from him, Ahab, him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. I'm going to remove the cancer. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. And Jehu came forth to the servants of his lord, and one said unto him, is all well? I mean, this guy's digesting all this. Mm-hmm. I've just been made king, and I've been ordered to wipe out the entire bloodline of the former king. Wherefore came his maid fellow to thee? Wherefore came this mad fellow to you? What's going on? This guy rushes in here and needs to talk to you. What's going on? And he said unto them, you know the man and his communication? And they said, it is false. Tell us now. And he said, thus and thus spake he to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So they said, this guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He never tells the truth. They just wanted to know what was going on. As soon as they did know, they had no choice but to blow the trumpets and announce it. Because the will of God is something that's undeniable once it's put inside you. You can fight against it, but it will overcome. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now, Joram had kept Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. The king Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, if it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go and tell it to Jezreel. Go kill them all. There, this ain't happening. I'm king. Go kill them all. And Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman in the tower of Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came. And said, I see the company. And Joram said, take a horseman and send to meet them. Let him say, is it peace? And there went one on horseback to meet him. And he said, thus saith the king, is it peace? Jehu said, "What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me." And the watchman told, saying, "The messenger came to them, but he cometh not again." It's not peace. I'm getting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent out a second on horseback, which came to them and said, "Thus saith the king, is it peace? Are you coming here to kill me?" I mean, would you truthfully answer that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you answer that, they're going to lock the gate, right?
Right.
Jehu answered, "What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me." And the watchman told, saying, "He came even unto them, and he cometh not either." That's a number. Now the second horseman is galloping away, sire. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And we see this a lot. The different Hebrews are known for different things. I mean, they obviously have games and chariot races and foot races and all. We've seen those. That's got to be a Haziel. He runs like a Haziel. It's got to be him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy here is known for his erratic chariot driving. That's got to be Jehu. I never seen anybody drive a chariot like that. And Joram said, "Make ready." And his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Haziel, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. They went out to meet Jehu, to meet him in the portion of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." There's no way, as long as your mother is alive. She has done unbelievable things to the people of Israel and turned her back on God in such an atrocious way. Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, "There is treachery, O Ahaziah." And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms. And the arrow went out at his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, "Take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember how that, when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him." You remember Naboth, Jonathan? That was one of the original sins that got God's attention. Naboth had a little vineyard, beautiful little vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
if I could only have it.
Ahab wanted it so bad. Tried to buy it. He couldn't buy it. Offered him 10 times what it was worth. Then tried to trade him for a better vineyard. Yeah, you remember that. "Yeah, I'll give you this better one over here." Well, why wouldn't you want to keep the better one? I mean, you say it's better. Why would you want to trade the better one for the one that's not so good?
I'm trying to help you out.
Yes, I'm trying to help you out. That's exactly what he said. Trying to help you out. I'm richer than you. I want to give you this better vineyard for your not so better vineyard. So, Ahab got all sad. His wife, Jezebel, who wore the breeches in the family, said, "Yeah, you're the king. You do whatever you want. Hey, I got this, all right? Go in there and have you some lamb chops. I got this." So she brought false witness against Naboth, had him stoned to death. Gave her husband the field as a present.
The false witnesses were the SOBs.
Yes, they were. Yep. The sons of Baal, the original SOBs, brought to you by the Bible. Lots of things come out of this Bible. You know the term dumbass comes out of this Bible? It does. Read the story of Balak and Balaam. But the original SOB is a son of Belial.
Yep.
Belial means evil-hearted person.
But you're saying how they tricked him out of it, or they had him stoned to death?
Yes.
You're saying?
"Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. You pay for your sins in this life. And the sins that are not covered by Christ's sacrifice in the next. But in the flesh you will pay for the sins that you do with scars and hardship and sickness and disease." Now therefore, take and cast him into the plat of the ground according to the word of the Lord. But when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. Jehu followed after him and said, smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur. Be careful who you hang around with. This guy just come to help his buddy out, who has this death sentence on him by God. Very careful who you hang out with. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam. And he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in the chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in the sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. And in the 11th year of Joram, the king of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. When Judah was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. When Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. Uh-oh. He just offed my husband. I ain't worried about that. I really didn't care for him anyway. But he apparently coming after me next from the statements he's been making about, no, there'll never be peace as long as I'm still alive. And she painted her face. Ah, now this is a truly fleshly beautiful woman from the things that we see in here. So she says, okay, I know my soldiers aren't going to withstand this, so let me try the age-old thing that has always worked for me. My beauty and seduction, because this is a man, and I have pretty much had power over every man that I've ever encountered in my life, except for that Tishbite dude, Elijah. I don't know what's wrong with him. Apparently doesn't appreciate beautiful women. And then his protege, Elisha, he doesn't seem to care for a beautiful woman either. But other than that, I'm quite certain I put on a little makeup, put my Hoochie Mama outfit on. I will be able to take care of this situation. She painted her face, tired her head, and looked out the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. Now these eunuchs obviously could care less if they're talking to a beautiful woman or a man, because their hormonal balance has been changed, let's say.
SPCA fixed.
Yes, they've been fixed. Yeah, so. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. Mm. Isn't God amazing? To take care of this unbelievably spiritually seductive woman. This isn't just a beautiful woman with seductive abilities.
She's a witch.
This is a, yes, yes, an enchantress. I have encountered a couple of these in my life. And within moments of just being in their presence, you're drawn to them with physical arousal. It is, and this one here was the queen of all of them. Spiritual power like you have no idea over men. The Bible talks about the spirit of whoredom, the power that it has, the amazing power of God. He just happened to have two or three eunuchs on standby. They just happened to be there where she was. How do you deal with a seductress that has power over men? Mm-hmm. You send in a modified man.
Yeah. Modified.
Modified. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go. See now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull, for God said the dogs would eat her. Mm-hmm. And the feet. The skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Interesting what was left. the things she used for mischief. Her beauty of her face, her mind, the hands, and the feet that ran there. Wherefore they come again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by the servant Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. Cursing or blessing? Pick which one you want here today. You want the Almighty God sitting on your side of the bleachers? Or you want the evil one sitting in your side of the bleachers? And you know what? I've seen folks that seat both of them on the same side, cheering section. And when you get to that moment, God is one heartbeat away from going over to the opposition bleachers. And when that happens, you know, Satan can come sit on the cheering side all he wants. But until he has permission to do things to you, his hands are tied. You take your eyes off God long enough, he's going to say, I know you've been asking me to, been asking to smite Jonathan for years now, but you know, all right, I give you a week. See how he acts in a week, and then we'll talk again.
Yeah.
No offense, Jonathan.
No.
You're an easy target. You're right across the table from me. Been good to be with you here on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. And having some fun in 2 Kings. Nobody ever said you couldn't have fun with the Bible. I adore this book. In every day when I read this, there's nothing I do the rest of the day that brings me more joy and absolute fun as reading this book. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.